The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. I'm Steve Hook, very happy to be with you again today. We've got a great show and a great guest today. Michael Cutler will be joining us. Mike is, anything and everything you ever wanted to know about immigration into the United States, Michael Cutler can tell you about, because he began his career as an immigration inspector back in 1971. In 75, he became a special agent through the INS, which is the Immigration and Naturalization Services, which of course became DHS. But he's also testified. He testified before the 9/11 Commission and has given loads and loads of testimony on the subject of immigration. And he has a lot to say about what's happening, not only at the southern border, but the northern border, airports, waterways, everything. And so we're going to discuss that with him here before long. So that'll be a very interesting talk because, like I said, if you want to know anything about the subject, he knows the subject well. So we look forward to that. Okay. Also, what else is in the news? Well, McCarthy got the budget passed through. There's a lot of hemming and hawing on this. A lot of the Freedom Caucus members in the House were upset with this bill, and I understand why. I mean, it basically gives a blank checkbook to Biden for the remainder of his term, where he can borrow up to $4 trillion. And if you don't think he will, he will. And that's what got a lot of people ticked off. But I was reminded of the old adage, don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. And there is some good stuff in the bill, but there's a lot of bad stuff too. But I just can't really fault McCarthy too hard for, people are going to say, oh, he didn't stand firm. Well, I think he kind of did stand pretty firm. There was a lot of stuff in this bill that, well, just the fact that it was 99 pages is a big plus. The fact that it's not 3,500 pages and plus, and then handed off to everybody in the House and said, okay, you got to sign this now and send us back your signature on a cover sheet before you've read even one paragraph of page one. This particular bill was, 99 pages, still kind of long, given how 50, 60 years ago, most of these bills were like 2 pages. But still considerably shorter than what we got during the Pelosi reign of error. And so that's good. And then, of course, it does do a little bit of clawing back, not as much as we want. But it doesn't look like Biden was going to budge on it either way. So you get it out of committee, you get it through the House, you get it into the Senate's hands, you get the president to sign it, and it's a win for McCarthy no matter what. So we can bitch and moan and kvetch about it all we want. But the bottom line is, it's going to take a resetting of the table here in 2024. It's just, that's what it's going to take. And in the past, we've talked on this show about how people are very cynical and apathetic. And cynical, I understand. Apathetic, I never understand, because you can't be apathetic about this. You might as well just shrug your shoulders and say, "Well, it was a good run for 248 years." We'll just let it burn to cinder and ash now. No. That's not the way we fight this battle. We fight this battle every single day. We try it on this program, on TNT Radio. We fight for, justice, liberty around the whole planet. But here in the States, the only way we can fight is with our vote and with our voice. And by God, we're not going to stop until they, to paraphrase Charlton Heston, until they pull it from our dead, cold hands. So we've got to fight for it, and we're going to continue to do that. And I think McCarthy was up for the fight. I think he did a pretty good job, really, if I'm honest. I mean, there's, again, you can always pick stuff apart and find reasons to be furious. And there is stuff about it that I'm very, very miffed about. But as reality sets in, I have to kind of remind myself that you're dealing with a Democrat party that is so far to the left that you're not going to get them to move much. They're, you know, they're just not going to move much from their base. The only base they have left is the far left. So they have to appease to that all the time, and they will. Anyway, we got a big show. We'll talk to Michael Cutler, as I mentioned, in just a bit, and also talk to my man Adam Clark here in just a bit. Ruckus will be joining us. Hey, why not give TNT Radio a follow? We always encourage that. You can find us on all the social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, Getter. And you can help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Pointed conversation powered by the facts.
It's always a balanced conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, well, as promised, let's bring in Ruckus. Time for Ruckus to join the party here. Well, on Wednesday, yesterday, the Biden administration announced a brand new military aid package for Ukraine. This one, very small by comparison, only $300 million. And although the Security Council spokesman John Kirby said that U.S. weaponry should not be used in a strike within Russia, he did admit that Ukraine can really do whatever it wants to with the weapons once we give them to them. Maybe that explains how Mexico's notorious Gulf cartel appears to have gotten their hands on at least one of the Javelin missiles from the Pentagon stockpiles that have been sent to Ukraine. So it was sent to Ukraine, and lo and behold, it ends up south of the border in the hands of the Gulf cartel, one of many of those just absolute narco-terrorist groups. They're insanely violent in Mexico. Here with the whole story, TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Yeah, hey, Ruckus, I see this, and I'm like John Kirby says, well, you shouldn't use these weapons inside Russia, but you can do whatever you want to with them. It's like giving a kid a huge bowl of candy and say, you really shouldn't eat this, but here it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, certainly didn't say, hey, you shouldn't send it to Mexico. So I guess they feel like it's fair game. This is insane. This is abuse right here. This is crazy. I can't believe this is real. Well, I guess I can. It is 2023. Oh, we're halfway done with the year already, by the way, almost. This is nuts. All right. So this is $300 million. Yeah, as you mentioned, it doesn't seem very big in comparison. I mean, I think what's the running total now? $37.6 billion since February of 2022. So this is like a drop in the bucket. But it is the 39th drawdown of the Defense Department inventories for Ukraine since August of 2021. So how this works is this package will use presidential drawdown authority, which allows the Pentagon to take weapons from its own stocks and quickly ship them to Ukraine. And we'll get to that Javelin missile here in a minute. Now, of course, the reason they're doing all of this is because Russia bad, obviously. Kirby told reporters, quote, Russia has continued to wage a brutal, completely unprovoked war against Ukraine, launching yet more airstrikes and bombarding Ukrainian cities across the country. In response, the United States is going to continue to help give them things that they need to better defend themselves, end quote. Well, those things, Steve, include more munitions for Patriot missile batteries and HIMARS, as well as Avenger air defense systems, Stinger anti-craft systems, and AIM-7 missiles for air defense. It also includes more artillery and anti-armor capabilities, precision aerial munitions, mine-clearing equipment, unguided Zuni aircraft rockets, night vision goggles, and more. Sounds like something from a Call of Duty video game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
you load up your loadout or whatever it's called before you join the fight. So now he did cite the fact that there was an attack recently that he brought to mind. He said that Russia had recently mounted 17 separate air assaults targeting Kyiv in May. And according to Kirby, the attacks harmed civilians and hit critical civilian infrastructure. And apparently he takes offense at that. But he seems to dance around the issue that the Ukrainian army has been accused of doing the exact same thing very recently. On May 30th, just a couple days ago, there was an announcement from Moscow claiming that there was some minor damage to several civilian apartment buildings thanks to an attack from Ukraine that happened to apparently, supposedly, reportedly, allegedly be U.S. weapons. And that doesn't look good. So he did sort of address that. He said, Kirby, that is, quote, "We have been very clear with the Ukrainians privately. We've certainly been clear publicly that we do not support attacks inside Russia. We do not enable and we do not encourage attacks inside Russia." Okay. He also noted, as you said in the lead there, that the U.S. officials don't have any control over Kyiv's military. He said, quote, "We don't tell them where to strike. We don't tell them, you know, where not to strike. We don't tell them how to conduct their operations. We give them equipment. We give them training. We give them advice and counsel. Heck, we even do tabletop exercises with them to help them plan out what they're going to do. But ultimately, President Zelensky and his military commanders decide what they're going to do from a military perspective, and they decide what they are going to do with the equipment that has been provided to them and that they now own," end quote. Well, keeping that in mind, let's move over to this. Apparently, there was some footage filmed in Matamoros on Monday and aired on Tuesday evening by a news channel called Millennial TV. It showed a man belonging to, allegedly, Mexico's Gulf cartel, the Cartel del Golfo, the CDG. And he's got a shoulder-mounted rocket system with one of our javelins, one of the 10,000 javelins that came directly from the aforementioned Pentagon stockpiles that were rushed to Ukraine. How on earth did they get that? And does the U.S. even care? Apparently not, because, you know, Zelensky can do whatever he wants with them. Steve, this is insane.
Well, what I'm wondering is, did the missile ever make it to Ukraine? Are you saying that it went to Ukraine and then somebody shipped it back to Mexico? Or did it just kind of, oh, look, I found this. It fell off the ship at port. It's very odd how they got that. I mean, that's not a weapon to be trifled with.
Apparently, because there was some reporting of this last year in July, I think mostly thanks to RT, they found that a variety of these weapons, including anti-tank rockets, have been put up for sale on the dark web. Whether it's Zelensky, his commanders, or just people who are corrupt, or maybe somebody stole them, who knows? There's no transparency. There's no oversight. We just ship all this stuff over there, and then God only knows what happens to it. Obviously, it lands up in the laps of criminals all over the world. This is crazy.
Yeah. So wait a minute. I understand you completely. You're telling me, Ruckus, that Ukraine, the most corrupt state in Eastern Europe, if not all of Europe, let's call it all of Europe, might have done something illegal with the weapons we gave them? What? That doesn't sound
right. Saying it's a very minor possibility, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, very minor possibility. Somebody made some money is what happened. And I don't know, those javelins, man, you can take down a civilian aircraft with those things. You can take down any aircraft with them. It's very dangerous, and you're right, nobody's going to be held accountable for it. So there it is, another $300 million. Whatever. Oh, boy. All right, Ruckus. Well, listen, brother, as always, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to chatting with you tomorrow, brother.
You betcha, God willing. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day, Steve.
All right, you got it. Take care, Ruckus. Well, there he goes. That's Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. And not at all shockingly, we find out that some of the weapons that we sent, it's kind of like Fast and Furious on the arms trade with Ukraine now, but this time it's Fast and Furious 2.0. All right, you're listening to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. We're going to take a real quick break. We come back so thrilled, really excited to have Michael Cutler on the program today. We'll be talking all things immigration, and not just the southern border either, by the way. All of our waterways, the northern border, our airports, ports of entry all around the nation have basically become open ports of entry for illegals. And Michael Cutler will give us all of the lowdown on that on the other side of the break on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Ross Cameron.
What is a human being? We are described in the taxonomy of animals as Homo sapien, meaning the wise animal. The animal that is distinguished from other animals by the use of reason. And it was the use of reason that gave the Greeks the feeling that the human being had a soul, because the human alone seemed to share this capacity with the divine to reason, not to be governed purely by instinct and by the behaviours of the herd. Yet we find, I think, both as we read history, but also in our own lives, that each of us is subject to both the influence of reason, but also the passions of the herd.
Ross Cameron on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places, magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
Examining the issues. Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. And again, very thrilled to get Michael Cutler on the program. Michael is a former senior special agent with INS. That's the Immigration Naturalization Service. Now it's DHS, but that's what it used to be called. He started back in 71 as an immigration inspector. Then in 75 became a special agent. He's spent his entire 30-plus year career in immigration. So he is the guy to go to. And, of course, he's also provided testimony to, well, the likes of the 9/11 Commission. He testified over a dozen times before congressional hearings, including the House and the Senate in the U.S. And he also has appeared on numerous television programs, Newsmax TV, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, One America News, and many, many others. And we welcome him to the program now. Michael Cutler, hello, sir. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the introduction. Yeah, this has been my life's work. I hate to admit it, 1971, the horse and buggy era, you know. Things have certainly changed.
Yeah, I was back in the days of leaded gas. I'm glad to have you with us today, Michael, because this has kind of been an issue that pops up every now and again. Of course, Title 42, everybody was talking about the border. I've been focusing on the border an awful lot during the course of my program since I've been with TNT, because I see it as an existential threat to the United States of America on so many different fronts. And I've been reading some of your recent pieces, and you kind of touch on the fact that it's true every state is a border state. You coined that term. And it's
a long
not
time
just
ago.
Because of the southern border. It's the northern border too. We're seeing it on the southern border because it's such an absolute humanitarian crisis, among other things. But why don't you tell us what's going on? And my big question, Mike, is, to what end? I mean, I know both parties want a lot of immigrants here for various reasons, but it seems to be really ramping up in overdrive. And to what end? What are we doing this for?
We're destroying ourselves. But I just wanted to make a comment because I was listening to your conversation a couple of minutes ago about that missile was seen on the shoulder of a guy in Matamoros. I've been to Matamoros. In fact, I went to Border Patrol Academy in Texas. Right across the road in Brownsville, which is next to Matamoros. But what's being left out, and I don't know why the Republicans aren't talking about it, except they're as much in favor of an open border as are the Democrats. Make no mistake. You know, the way that George W. Bush created DHS, the supposed Department of Homeland Security, I called it the Department of Homeland Surrender. They were never supposed to divide immigration enforcement between Customs and Border Protection and ICE, Interior Enforcement. They were never supposed to fold other agencies in. It was supposed to be a standalone agency. I was working unofficially with Congress on this. And so it was simply about making certain that the immigration enforcement program was seamless. Bush comes along and seizes an opportunity to destroy what vestiges we had of immigration enforcement. And it was the Republicans who frequently called me up. And the conversation was always, if not amusing, tragic, where I would say, well, what did he do now? What did he say now? Meaning Bush, George [S2] Yeah. [S1] W. You know, they gave Bush enough money to hire 800 agents for ICE. He cut that number to 143. They gave him enough money to hire 2,000 Border Patrol agents. He cut it to 210. They gave him enough money to acquire 8,000 detention beds each year for 4 years. He cut that to something like 1,700 and change. And wow. It was the Republicans who were going crazy. And I actually testified twice for Sheila Jackson Lee. If you remember when we had two dead terrorists, Muhammad Atta, the ringleader, and Marwan al-Shehhi, those sure. two thugs were in the cockpits of the two planes that hit the towers. They were granted authorization to attend flight school 6 months after the attacks. By then, the world knew they were dead and they'd been terrorists. And it was Jackson
they were
Lee
still granted permission.
Who invited me.
I'll be.
Understand what's being left out of the conversation. On April 17th, 2018, this might shed light on the weapons that are in Latin America right now. What most people don't realize is there are terror training camps in the tri-border region of Brazil, where Brazil abuts with Argentina and Paraguay. Iran has been sending their CUDS forces, their shock troops, to Venezuela for the past two decades. Think about that. In fact, yeah. Hezbollah has a huge footprint throughout Latin America working with human traffickers and drug smugglers. And on April 17th, 2018, the House Counterterrorism and Intelligence Subcommittee conducted a hearing on the topic of the state sponsors of terrorism and examination of Iran's global terrorism network. One of the experts, and it was interesting because nobody contradicted him. Sometimes at a hearing, you have one witness contradicting another. I've been there, done that, okay? Everybody was singing the same song from the same sheet of music, no matter which party had called them to testify. One of the experts at the hearing was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Emmanuel Ortolenghi, a member of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm just going to read two quick paragraphs from his testimony.
Sure.
This is the stuff that keeps me awake at night, okay? I've arrested yeah. terrorists in my career. I've investigated them. My first fraud investigation in 76 caused me to trip over a terror plot in Israel. We prevented the bombing of an oil refinery. I guess it's my work in those areas that motivated the 9/11 Commission to reach out to me after 9/11. So sure, here good. Is what he had to say. And the first sentence, the first paragraph is disturbing. The second one will keep you awake for the next 3 months, I promise you.
Oh boy.
In recent years, Hezbollah's Latin American networks, we always assume Latin America, no, we think Middle East Hezbollah, right? No, Latin America. Hezbollah's Latin American networks have also increasingly cooperated with violent drug cartels and criminal syndicates, often with the assistance of local corrupt political elites. Cooperation includes the laundering of drug money, arranging multi-ton shipments of cocaine to the United States and Europe, and directly distributing and selling illicit substances to distant markets. Proceeds from these activities finance Hezbollah's arms procurement, its terror activities overseas, its hold on Lebanon's political system, and its efforts both in Lebanon and overseas to keep Shia's communities loyal to its cause and complicit in its endeavors. Now here comes paragraph two. Fasten your seatbelt. This toxic crime terror nexus, that is Hezbollah and the drug traffickers and human traffickers, often one and the same, this crime terror nexus is fueling both the rising threat of global jihadism and the collapse of law and order across Latin America that is helping to drive drugs and people northward into the United States. It is sustaining Hezbollah's growing financial needs. It is helping Iran and Hezbollah consolidate a local constituency in multiple countries across Latin America, thus facilitating their efforts to build safe havens for terrorists and a continent-wide terror infrastructure that they could use to strike U.S. targets.
God almighty. When was that testimony again, Michael? What year was that?
It was April of 2018. Now,
holy cow. Also,
yes. Now, why is no one quoting it? This was open hearing. They had videos of the hearing online. Why has not a single Republican stood up and said that? I will tell you why. They started this garbage. Look, I'll be honest, totally transparent. I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. I haven't voted for a Democrat in years. They're no longer Democrats. When people refer to the lunatic left as liberal, my head explodes. I was raised to be a liberal. I raised my children to be liberal. These are not liberals. They are fascists. They're totalitarians. Liberals don't engage in cancel culture. What do you think of that? I was raised to believe that the First Amendment was sacrosanct. Everyone is entitled to his or her beliefs. Everyone is entitled to free speech without fear, provided they don't call for violence or do the equivalent of crying fire in a crowded theater. How far has the Democrat Party gone from that vision?
Well, exactly right. I mean, you're a JFK style Democrat. Those
absolutely
don't exist much
JFK, anymore. Harry Truman, Scoop Jackson. Absolutely.
Yeah, Scoop Jackson was great. What scares me about this, Michael, beyond the obvious, is what you have just read. Those two paragraphs perfectly illustrate 5 years later what is happening right now. We have this unholy alliance between the CCP and Mexican drug cartels, whether it's the Gulf Cartel, Jalisco, Sinaloa, whoever, all of them. And they are pumping deadly chemicals into this country as fast as they can. And they're also pumping in illegal immigrants. And they're making billions of dollars.
Yes, not only illegal immigrants, we're admitting people legally. They just announced, the Justice Department just announced, and I think I sent you the link to that, that an individual who came on a Lebanese passport was actually a Hezbollah sleeper agent. Before he came to the United States around 2000, he had undergone training in the Middle East. We admit him. We give him United States citizenship. He's now been sentenced to 12 years in jail for committing crimes relating to terrorism. He went overseas to kill what he thought was an Israeli spy. He was unsuccessful. And then he committed a bunch of immigration crimes. Immigration crimes are as serious as they come. Let me put immigration in the perspective that none of the lying politicians from either party. By the way, when you talk about political parties, I want you to think about what George Washington had to say about political parties. It was really brilliant. This is George Washington at his farewell address, Saturday, September 17th, 1796. I'm old, but I wasn't there. But anyway, but it wasn't far from where I live in Lower Manhattan, actually not far from where the World Trade Center collapsed.
Sure. Right
so this is what Washington said. However, political parties may now and then answer popular ends. They are likely, in the course of time and things, to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. How's that for a quote?
That's as prescient as you can get from our very first president. He saw it 200 and some odd years ago, because it seems to me that both parties now are in it for the party way more than they're in it for the
Republicans. They're Republicans. Yeah. I'm sick of it, because how can you represent your constituents when you have a party boss telling you which way the wind is blowing and you better go with the program? You know, everybody hates the lobbyists. Everybody hates K Street, right? Guess who the employees of K Street really are?
Former House members and senators and...
No, current. The current people. Wait a minute. This is an employer-employer relationship. If I give you money, I expect what? I expect you to do my bidding, right? It's not like the guy that gives $50 to his neighbor because the guy wants to run for Congress and he says, Charlie, you're a good guy. Here's $50. I hope it helps. No, they're writing checks for incredible sums of money. Where the wheels came off the wagon is when Citizens United was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, which meant that unlimited amounts of money could be pumped into political campaigns. We now have to have a new position in the cabinet. You tell me what you think, Steve. But I personally think they need to have the official auctioneer. And I'm pushing for the guy from Meekum. I think he does a damn good job. What do you think of that?
It might be a little bit more transparent just to have that straight up, so we're not having to guess at these. I'm telling you. Now let's kind of break this down from a not.
By the way,
party.
I spent half my career doing narcotics investigations as well. I was the first INS agent assigned to Unified Intelligence of DEA here in New York, and then I became a senior special agent with the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, and all of this comes together.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a nexus.
Yeah, and understand how much money is being laundered through the banks, Wall Street, and real estate.
How much would you suspect throw a number?
You're probably a trillion more. Limitless. It's limitless.
Okay, let's.
Why do you think there are no commercials warning people about the dangers of using drugs when the cigarette commercials were highly effective? You know, I'm a first generation American. My mom came here ahead of the Holocaust. I'm Jewish. My mother's mother couldn't get out of Poland. She was killed by the Nazi bastards. I was named for her. My dad was a construction worker. He was born in Brooklyn, but his family came from Russia, Romania. And, you know, I grew up believing in our system, believing that the government would look out for us. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not happening. This is no longer a government of the people, by the people, or for the people. And I remember my dad died of lung cancer when I was 19, in part because he worked in the Navy shipyards during the Second World War, and also because he smoked those damn Chesterfield blowtorches, as I call them. And the cigarette commercials have been super effective. How many people do you see lighting up a cigarette today? Not many. And it used to be, if you went to a meeting anywhere, the blue smoke hung under the ceiling, right? What happened?
Yeah.
The commercials were... Why are there no commercials warning about crack? Why are we legalizing drugs, decriminalizing drugs? You know, I came up with a comparison. I was talking to an old friend of mine. I mentored him when he was a new agent. He is now retired. He actually became part of management. You know, you're getting old and the people you meant to retire. And I said, you know what dawned on me? What's happening, especially in the lunatic left cities and states? It's the equivalent of a date rape drug being administered to the population.
Wow. I tell you, it's so.
Am I right or wrong in what I'm saying?
You're spot on. And you know damn good and well, Michael, if you were still in business, you'd be busy. So you must be happy to be out of that. But it must. Well, you said it keeps you up at night.
And I lost too many friends doing narcotics investigations, and I want to know what the hell they died for. My good friend Everett Hatcher, DEA agent, was killed, I believe it was 1989, by Gus Faraci, an Italian mobster. I was with him 3 hours before he was shot twice in the head when I was assigned to DEA intel. I walked into my office. He was sitting at my desk. I'll never forget it. He had his feet up on my desk, and he said, "Mike, how would you like to trade jobs?" Hatch was an American hero. He was, I believe, a colonel in the Army, served in Vietnam. But because he was black, the prejudiced, bigoted idiots in the mob thought he couldn't have been an agent. He must be an informant. So after he had a clandestine meeting, they doubled back, found him, and executed him. And he left behind two children who were young at the time, his wife. And it broke my heart. In fact, George Bush Sr. came to New York, the head of DEA in New York at the time. Bob Stutman knew how close we were. So he had me sitting in the second row when the president came to the New York office to pay respect. And I go by and his name is on the sign outside DEA, you know, Special Agent Everett Hatcher Way. And I look at the sign and I think, whoopee do? What did he die for? Why did his family lose him? Why did his friends lose him? What are we doing? This is not a war on drugs. It is a farce. We don't have control over immigration, nor do we want it. The real key to immigration is not more border patrol. The real key to immigration is interior enforcement. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, I did a whole bunch of congressional hearings. But what was most successful, or I think advantageous, was I was also invited to do closed door meetings. So you're not sitting there with the idiotic 5 minute clock. The way the whole thing is set up, it's a kangaroo court. I've done enough of these damn hearings. It's a show trial.
Yeah.
So I asked a bunch of members of Congress, how many times does an aspiring illegal alien have to attempt to enter the United States before he or she succeeds? And I believe it was Lamar Smith, who at the time was chairman of the subcommittee, said to me, "Mr. Cutler, there's a number?" I said, "No, there's a formula." He said, "Really? What's the formula?" I said, "It's one more than the number of times they get stopped." The point is, you are determined to get in, you will. And if we do nothing about it once you're here, number one, you're incentivizing it. And number two, you're not pushing back against a clear and present danger to national security. The 9/11 Commission issued also another report called 9/11 and Terrorist Travel. This was authored by the federal agents and the attorneys who worked for the 9/11 Commission. In fact, I knew some of the agents who were assigned. And one of the things that they talked about was the need for interior enforcement. They actually said this: abuse of the immigration system and a lack of interior immigration enforcement were unwittingly working together to support terrorist activity. It will remain largely unknown since no agency of the U.S. government analyzed terrorist travel patterns until after 9/11. This lack of attention meant that critical opportunities to disrupt terrorist travel and therefore deadly terrorist operations were missed. You have sanctuary cities that operate with impunity in a way where if you or I did what they do, you'd be in jail.
Sure. Sure. Harboring Let me ask you this, Michael. Michael, let me ask you this. If I agree with you, the interior enforcement is an absolute must, and it's not happening. We know that. But then with this basically wide open border, the problem that I have with the wide open border is that not only are we getting waves of people, and they said after Title 42, they said, oh, the numbers actually went down. And then we found out, no, wait a minute, you kind of fudged the numbers. You were putting them on buses and you were getting them out of there and you weren't counting them. Yeah. But when you allow this wide open border, you know for a fact, intuitively, that terrorists, which I think a lot of people are learning today, have got camps all over inside the Western Hemisphere in Latin and South America. I didn't know that. So you know they're getting in. We also know that a whole bunch of Chinese nationals are coming across the border. People from all over are coming across the border.
And they've got Chinese police stations to police their own citizens in our country.
Yeah, in Manhattan. We had that about a month or so ago. So the question is, this kind of probably kind of answers itself. This is why so many people, beyond the bombast and the brashness of Donald Trump, this kind of explains why they all hated him so much, because he was trying to address that very situation. I'm not rah-rah Trump here on this. I'm just saying that he was the change agent, and they wanted no part of that change, and they still don't.
He invoked the S word frequently, and it gave them fits. You know what the S word was, right? Sovereignty.
Yeah.
Right? And now you've got corporations telling the American government, go to hell, we're going to cut deals with the Chinese government to get cheap labor. Understand what has happened. The government of the United States is directed by corporate America.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's unfortunately, that's kind of the way it goes, the almighty dollar.
Right. So instead of saying we represent the people, no, the corporations call up the government and tell them what to do. In fact, you look at the banks accepting Mexican matricula cards after the FBI warned that those Mexican cards were a threat to national security and were unreliable. A major bank said, okay, that's cool. We don't care. We're going to accept them. You would have thought that the Treasury Department could have stepped in and said no. When President Trump held news conferences, and I'm not one of these Trumpophiles. I joke about a friend of mine who's a retired general in the military. I've met so many amazing people on this journey since 9/11. And I've jokingly said, I've worked with the Speaker's Bureau in D.C. I was in front of a room filled with Air Force generals and colonels. And I said, I got an old Army buddy who was a retired general. And I'm convinced that if Donald Trump came to his house and relieved himself on his dining room table, he'd laminate it and call it a centerpiece. I'm not one of those. Okay. Forgive the imagery.
Listen, We have. We have to take a quick break. I want to come back and I want to talk to you, Michael, on the other side. What's it going to take? I fear your answer, but I want to hear it next. You're listening to The Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. My guest is Michael Cutler. We'll be right back right after this.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Hey, did you see the massive media coverage of what happened in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend? ABC 7 Chicago reports that at least 53 people had been shot. 11 of those citizens died. The shooting victims, they range in age from 2 to 77 years old, representing every part of the city. Yet be hard-pressed to find reporting on any of this outside of the Chicago media. You know why? Because these shootings weren't committed with an AR-15. The shooters weren't white supremacists. They weren't wearing Trump or MAGA caps. So the left-wing activist-filled phony media couldn't care less. We don't need to know the name of the 2-year-old who was shot or the 77-year-old or any of the 11 who had their lives taken from them by thugs with guns. It doesn't matter to the media. But if even one of these 53 was shot by a quote-unquote right-winger, you'd know all about it. By the way, these Memorial Day weekend numbers top last year's, which were the worst in 5 years in Chicago, with 9 killed and 42 wounded. The only thing that will make this better in all cities around the country, mandatory sentences for crimes committed with guns. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The World Economic Forum's Global Shapers community is active in 147 countries. It boasts of its network of young people driving dialogue, action, and change. The Global Shapers community recruits young people to further the aims of Klaus Schwab's technocrats at the World Economic Forum. This is a program to control the world and eliminate individual freedom. This is a program for a circular economy, a belt-tightening economy. The Global Shapers community started in 2011. It claims to be a grassroots network and offer youth-led solutions for change. But it is run top-down and grooms youth for future lavish leadership roles and promotes sustainable consumption for the masses to address a non-existent climate crisis. Future young leaders deserve better, such as optimistic vision of freedom, creativity, and economic growth.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. My guest is Michael Cutler. Michael, thank you for holding in there, man. You testified before the 9/11 Commission quite a few sessions of testimony as well in the House and the Senate. And I remember well
and
when that 9/11
legislative bodies around the country also, by the way.
Yeah. So just a whole bunch. So you are the go-to guy on this. And I do remember that the 9/11 report, when it came out, one of the big, I think if you're going to put it on a bumper sticker, it was they were at war with us. We weren't at war with them. And every year in 9/11 since 2001 on all your social sites, you see people post pictures of the towers crumbling or an American flag or something with the banner, never forget. And most Americans have not forgotten. Most Americans are still mortified, especially those old enough to have been around during 9/11, which is most of us, quite frankly. Certainly you qualify. I live on the Jersey Shore. I could go to the beach and literally see the smoke wafting across the ocean. So that's how close I was to it. And I know some people that lost their lives in 9/11. Now, the point I'm trying to get to here is none of us have forgotten it. It was one of those moments where you know exactly where you were when it happened. But for some reason, and I suspect the filthy lucre has a lot to do with this, the American government has forgotten. So what's it going to take to wake them up and to get them to start enforcing our border and immigration policies here? Is it going to take another 9/11?
We the people should be doing it, but it will take another attack. We've had minor attacks, relatively speaking, but don't tell that to the family members who lost their brothers, sisters, husbands, and so forth.
Yeah.
But, look, after 9/11, there were two phrases, and we heard it from everybody, right? Both parties. For the terrorists to succeed, they got to get it right only once. For us to be safe, we got to get it right 100% of the time. Remember that?
Yeah.
The other thing that we heard, which was absolute stupidity in motion, is we're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. Where the hell did it happen?
Yeah, good point. It happened here.
Think about that. So I want you to think about it, because everyone likes numbers. You know, we're a numbers-oriented society. You go to the baseball game, what's the earned run average? How many home runs? A guy runs for president. What do the polls look like? How much money has he? Isn't that amazing? That's all they want to know is how big the war chest is. Not what does he stand for? How many bribes has he taken? Right? Imagine if I went to work with that philosophy. They'd have me in front of a grand jury, wouldn't they?
Sure.
So it only took 19 hijackers to carry out 9/11. 19. They killed more people on 9/11 than we lost to the Japanese fleet at Pearl Harbor, that we lost to the Japanese fleet at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. And since 9/11, probably more than twice as many have died because of their exposure to the toxins. The ashes from 9/11 rained down on my home, my family, my neighborhood. My neighbors were killed. And I'll be honest, I still suffer post-traumatic stress. And I remember having a screaming match with the former counsel to the Republican House Judiciary Committee. And we were having this big argument. I'm on the phone with him. And I said to him, what the blankety blank will it take? Another attack at the Trade Center? We had that fight on the Friday before 9/11.
I'll be damned. So you were obviously-
Look at what the 9/11 Commission said. This is the 9/11 Commission staff report again. Quick quote. In July 2001, the CIA warned of a possible link between human smugglers and terrorist groups. Here we go again. Human smugglers, including Hamas, Hezbollah, right? They just put that guy away, and the Egyptian Islamic Jihad. Indeed, there's evidence to suggest that since 1999, human smugglers have facilitated the travel of terrorists associated with more than a dozen extremist groups. With their global reach and connection to fraudulent document vendors and corrupt government officials, human smugglers clearly have the, quote, credentials necessary to aid terrorist travel. Final quote I want to give you is immigration benefits. My first hearing, by the way, was 4.5 years before 9/11. It was about visa fraud and immigration fraud because of the 93 attack at the Trade Center, which killed six, injured over 1,000, almost brought the towers down. They inflicted $500 million in damage.
I remember it.
If they brought the tower down, we would have had hundreds of thousands of dead bodies. All right. What a wake-up call. And we ignored it. The Clinton administration ignored it. So now the hearing was about immigration fraud. This is what they said about fraud. Again, quoting, this is on page 98, terrorists in the 1990s, as well as the September 11th hijackers, needed to find a way to stay in or embed themselves in the United States if their operational plans were to come to fruition. As already discussed, this could be accomplished legally by marrying an American citizen, achieving temporary worker status. That's DACA, by the way. And by the way, guess who the key architect of DACA was? Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Surrender. Think about that one, okay?
Yeah.
Or applying for asylum after entering. We now have millions of asylum applicants who do not qualify, but it makes it sound like they're legitimate and they're sympathetic. Look, a lot of them are running from poverty. I feel bad for them, but the solution to world hunger and world poverty isn't to bring 3 billion people to the United States, right?
Yeah.
So think of what's happened. And it goes on and says this, and this is really important. By the way, by overloading it, the people are getting hearing dates years from now. Now, this is what
which they won't even show up to.
Right. And who's going to, and there's no one there to enforce the law. You got about 2,000 ICE agents effectively. There's 6,000, but with all the other jobs that Bush gave them, if you're lucky, you have 2,000 ICE agents for the entire country, but about 200,000 Internal Revenue agents to make sure that you and I pay our taxes properly. Think about that dichotomy. But it goes on and says this. In many cases, the act of filing for an immigration benefit, think of those millions applying for asylum, suffice to permit the alien to remain in the country until the petition was adjudicated. Terrorists were free to conduct surveillance, coordinate operations, obtain and receive funding, go to school and learn English, make contacts in the United States, acquire necessary materials, and execute an attack. I wrote an article for Front Page Magazine, and I said that to refer to these people as asylum applicants is kind of like looking at a homeless person who buys a lottery ticket and calling him an aspiring millionaire, okay? They don't qualify. It's not because they live in a country that's lousy and dangerous and so forth. It's because the policies of the regime cause them to face persecution or worse because of race, religion, ethnicity, tribal affiliation, sexual orientation, or political beliefs. Okay, period. Not because that they're in a poverty-stricken nation or because there's rampant crime. By that definition, half of Americans should be able to apply for asylum today.
Yeah, no kidding. So, let me just ask you this as plainly as I can, Michael.
Yep.
It sounds to me like there is a troika here. There is a trinity of evil. It might be a quad of evil because the U.S. government is tacitly signing off on this crap. But we know that the CCP is in collusion with drug cartels. We know that drug cartels are in collusion with Hezbollah and probably other extremist Islamic groups. And we know that these groups have bases and camps throughout the Western Hemisphere, specifically in Central America. Yep. And yet nothing is being done and the border is more wide open than ever. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand the why of this.
Well, you and me both, but here's what I see. First of all, I now say that comprehensive immigration reform should be referred to not only as the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act, which is what I had said in an article I wrote for the Washington Times in 2006. Senator Sessions at the time liked it so much he quoted me from the floor of the Senate during the floor debate on three separate days and then sent me a certificate commemorating it. Unlike most politicians, he's not a plagiarist. The other thing is, I now say they should call it the Overwhelm America Act. We have a drought in the West. Every person here needs 100 gallons of water. If Biden let in 5 million, then I think that's a low number, then we're talking that, about the fact that 500 million gallons of water every day are being consumed by people who shouldn't be here during a drought. Stop and think about it. We are impacting education. We're impacting infrastructure and the environment. Everyone has an environmental footprint. I believe, as I wrote in an article about a year ago, I guess, or 2 years ago, for the Democrats to succeed, Americans must fail. They want to make Americans dependent on government for handouts. They are the party of the handout. And if they do that, they will have one-party rule. And all the Republicans can think about is furnishing cheap, exploitable labor. And it's not just the illegals. It's the high-tech visas. By the way, we shouldn't be calling these people coming across migrants, because you have American migrant workers, right? They're aliens. The term alien simply means any person not a citizen or national of the United States. Jimmy Carter took us down that Orwellian path. So if you don't want to call them aliens, I have another name for them. I call them clients. They are clients for the immigration law firms, okay? They are clients for the NGOs, the non-government organizations that laughably or in an Orwellian fashion call themselves nonprofits. I just did an article. It turned out that one of these nonprofits got a $530 million contract without competition, and everyone said, how could that happen? And it turned out that $17 million was paid to this outfit for beds never used by what I call clients. Why? Turns out, according to the Office of Inspector General and Judicial Watch, one of the people who was key in the transition for Biden at DHS left the Biden administration, went to work for that particular NGO as an executive, and within a month or two, they got a $530 million non-competitive contract. In that spending bill, you have $4 billion for what? For the border. To do what? To provide food, housing, clothing, shelter, medical care, right? Nothing for enforcement. So what we're seeing, I'm going to guess, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to take a wild hunch. The money goes to the NGOs. The NGOs make campaign contributions. And just like the music goes round and round, the money goes round and round.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round. And here we go. And now, God forbid, but probably going to happen, we're going to get another major attack at some point. And by then, I guess their thinking is, well, we'll be out of the scene by then anyway. They can't pin it on us. And who gives a damn? It probably
won't affect us. Or they'll be able to declare martial law.
Yeah, well, that's a real Brave New World Orwellian kind of Aldous Huxley reality that we don't want to have to go through.
By the way, I know I'm almost out of time. I'd love to come back. I love talking to you, but let me just give you a quick thing.
Yeah,
I did a little bit of research. Last year, about 45,000 people died because of gun incidents. 47,000 died because of car incidents, or maybe I've got it backwards, but they're very close. They're 2,000 apart. Have you ever heard of anybody calling for car control?
Nope.
Other than EVs. Have cars been used as weapons? Yes. Around the world, what do the terrorists use? Not airplanes, motor vehicles. And we're giving driver's license to people who are undocumented and therefore can't prove who they are, even as we put up barricades to protect us against car bombs and truck bombs.
Oh, my God. It really is.
Connect the dots. Am I crazy?
No, that's just it. What's crazy is what's going on, and I do think that that the Republican base, the base of the party, which has now kind of been Trumpized, we realize that, but at least they are serious about saying, hey, we got to stop it. But you have the facts on your side, and your party, former party, and the Republican Party, they're both just guilty as sin of just ignoring this and waiting until another tragedy happens. You think that we're going to see that tragedy happen sooner rather than later, or is it just going to be a slow evolving?
Well, there was just an assessment done by our military in the Middle East that said that within 6 months, ISIS will be in the position to carry out attacks in Europe and Asia. I don't think he said it's going to happen here. Baloney. How many people do we already have here? We have a fifth column in place. What's to prevent it? And as Iran gets closer to a nuclear weapon, what's to prevent them from blowing stuff up in America if we dare try to interfere with their nuclear program? We've left ourselves vulnerable in ways that I find incomprehensible. You know, what the military does, their shared mission is to keep the enemies of America as far from our shores as possible. Guess who gets that baton up close and in person? The Coast Guard, the Border Patrol, and ICE.
Yeah, well, we need to start funding them. Michael Cutler, God bless. We will absolutely have you on again. You're a font of wisdom, and I appreciate your time today, sir. And have a wonderful day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Check out my website, michaelcutler.net.
MichaelCutler.net. MichaelCutler.net. There you go. Coming up on the TNT on TNT Radio, it's the Patrick Henningsen Show. Patrick is going to be broadcasting from the Battaway Council in the UK. It's going to be a good show. Until tomorrow, I'm Steve Hook on TNT Radio. Goodbye.